Certainly good to see everyone here tonight, and glad that we can come together to worship God again and to enjoy a time together as God's people. In the book of Luke, in chapter 18, beginning at verse 35, we have an account that's recorded here and in Matthew chapter 20 and Mark chapter 10, recording all three of these, what's sometimes called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Didn't record it in John, but the principle is there a couple of other times. And so we look at this, Luke chapter 18 and verse 35. It says, "It came to pass, as he drew nigh to Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the way begging. And hearing a multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, and they that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come, he asked him, what will you that I should do unto you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive your sight, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." Now, we read that passage and we see that Jesus gave sight to this blind man immediately. There is no period of time where he had to work and find till finally his sight came back to him. It was immediate. When Jesus did a miracle, he didn't have to wait for anything else. He did it immediately, and it was done. This particular parallel passage is to this, and there's one in Matthew chapter 20, in verses 29 through 34. You can read that if you want to. And there are a couple of differences in what is said in these different passages. And some have suggested, well, maybe that's a contradiction, but it really isn't. In Matthew chapter 20, for example, Matthew mentions two blind beggars. And it was not unusual for multiple blind beggars or someone to find a place where people would be passing by, where they would be able to collect money or whatever it was for, whatever they needed. And so there's no contradiction, just that Luke, in particular, emphasize the one particular man as opposed to the other of the others who might have been around him. In Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, Mark 10, verse 46 through 52, Mark identifies the beggar by name. He says his name was Bartimaeus. Now the Hebrew term bar, which starts the word, means son of, which means he was the son of a man by the name of Timaeus. And Jesus himself, here in this particular passage in John chapter 20, the term Rabboni is used. And Rabboni means not just Lord, but my Lord or my Master. And of course, that's found in this particular passage also. And so on the way to he was on his way to Jerusalem. Jericho is down near the Jordan River. If you remember the conquest of Jericho in the days of Joshua, it was just across the Jordan River, and it was a long climb up to Jerusalem from Jericho. And so when Jesus told the parable of the Good Samaritan, he talked about how the man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, it was a long trip down the hill for about 20 miles down to from one to the other. There is something important here that we want to mention. Jericho is sometimes and later called the City of Palms, and it was a place, of course, of great historical interest. I'll turn back for a moment just to kind of set the tone for this particular passage in, In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26, when the city of Jericho fell in the time of Joshua, in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 26, it says, "And Joshua charged them with an oath at the time, saying, Cursed be the man before the Lord that raises up and builds the city of Jericho. With the loss of his firstborn shall he lay the foundation thereof, and shall set up the gates of it. For the loss of his youngest son shall he set up the gates with it. For the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was in all the land." So Joshua, by God's direction, placed a curse upon anybody who would try to rebuild the city of Jericho after the walls had fallen down. I turn over to 1 Kings chapter 16. Now bear in mind, there's a period of about 600 years between the time of Joshua and what we're going to read here in 1 Kings chapter 16 and verse 34. Now this is in the time of King Ahab, the worst king of the land of Israel. And it says in chapter 16 and 1 Kings and verse 34, it says, "In the days of Hiel, the Bethelite, he built Jericho, and he laid the foundation with the loss of Abiram, his firstborn son, and set up the gates thereof with the loss of his youngest son, Segub, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Joshua, the son of Nun." So exactly as Joshua prophesied and the curse that was placed upon it, the man who began to rebuild the city of Jericho lost his firstborn son and his youngest son in the building of it. Well, it was the same Jericho, which was still there 800 years later in the time of Christ, that the blind beggar was there. And it was not unusual for the beggars of the time, whether they were blind or had some other difficulty, to go along the road as the people go in and out of the city. And that was a fairly well-traveled road there between Jerusalem and Jericho. And so we look at the blind beggar here in chapter 18 of Luke in verse 35. It says, "It came to pass as he drew nigh to Jericho," this is Jesus, "a certain blind man sat by the way by the wayside begging." And so he was possessed with what we might call a double problem or affliction. There was blindness, and of course, he had to beg for what he had. Now, we have to understand, during the time in which they lived, very often, people who had some kind of physical handicap, it was looked upon as a result of someone's sin, maybe the sin of the person or his parents or whatever it might have been. In fact, in John chapter 9, there was a blind man there. And they asked Jesus, "Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Well, it's always been an interesting question for me, because how could he have been a sinner when he hadn't been born yet? And how would he be blind because of that? Well, of course, Jesus explained to them then that he was born blind and was in that condition so that you could see the power of God. So he gave him his sight. Well, this is a different blind beggar here, but usually that was their lot in life, to have to beg for the things of life. But the sight, of course, was a move not only because Jesus had the power to do this, but he had love and compassion for people, and he had pity for them. And Jesus, of course, did so. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34, it says, "Jesus being moved with compassion." Compassion comes from a Latin word meaning to suffer along with. So Jesus suffered along with this blind man, and the ones that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 20. His blindness had deprived him of the blessings that sometimes would come with being an Israelite, for example. Someone with a physical handicap could not go to the temple. He could come to the outside of it, but they could not go inside in the inner court, as others were able to do. And he also was exposed to danger and deception, other things that because he did not have his sight. So out of the depths of the darkness, he sat there and he begged at the gate for alms, for something for his support in his life. So then we look, go back to Luke 18 and verse 36. It says there, "And hearing the multitude going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they that went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace, that he cried out the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus was passing by. Now, he was blind, but he wasn't deaf. He could hear that there was an unusual amount of people passing by at this time. Now, Jesus, on another, a couple of other occasions, mentioned that many of them followed him not because they wanted to hear his teaching, not because of other reasons, but because he fed them and he healed people, and that's the reason many people followed him. So by this time in his personal ministry, there was large crowds of people that would be following wherever he went. And the blind man, on hearing the noise of the crowd and the throng as they were passing by, he asked, "What's going on? What is this?" And so again, he could hear fine. He just couldn't see. And he realized that there were more people than normal. And very often, the beggars would have a place for themselves. And this happened to be what we might call a prime place for begging outside the gate of the city of Jericho, because that's where most of the traffic came. But the reply that went to his question, said, "Who is this, or what's going on?" And he said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Now, we don't know exactly how he knew of Christ. He certainly had heard of him, but he must have thought, this is my opportunity right here. I must have heard Jesus of his power to heal, to restore sight, to even raise the dead. And so he cried out loudly above the sound of the crowd passing by. And that was his only way, as he understood, to get Jesus' attention. So he cried promptly as soon as he found out who it was, because he knew he might not get another opportunity. He cried out, as they say, with perseverance. They told him, "Be quiet, you don't need to bother the Lord." And he cried out more and more. Others told him to be quiet, and he tried twice to keep him silent, at least. And he must have thought that this was the only opportunity that this blind beggar, who society looked upon as being a sinner because he deserved whatever problem that he had. And that's the way they looked at it. But he was hoping that Jesus would look favorably upon him. And he refused to be silent. And Jesus, we look in Luke chapter 18, Jesus admired the persistence of his people. Remember Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. Jesus told a parable here. Luke 18 verse 1, he says, "He spoke a parable unto them to the end that they ought to always pray and not to faint." That's a message to us, that when we pray, maybe sometimes we pray one time and we don't get what we need, and we kind of think, well, God maybe didn't hear my prayer, and we just go on. The principle here in Luke chapter 18 and 1, and this passage we're going to read here, is that we need to continue to pray, and God will hear. Verse 2, in this parable, "There was a certain judge who feared not God and regarded not man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came oft to him, saying, Avenge me of my adversary. But he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest she wear me out by her continual coming. The Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And shall not God avenge his elect, that cry unto him day and night, yet he is long-suffering over them? I say unto you, that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth?" So Jesus says, if you want something, if you truly want according to the will of God, continue to pray for it. Don't stop, but continue. Yes, God knows what you want. He knows every time you pray. But continue to do so. And so that's what the blind man did. Okay, look at Luke chapter 18 there, beginning of verse 40. Luke 18 and verse 40. It says, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he was come near, he asked him, what will you that I should do unto you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. So he said, Lord, I need to be able to see again. Verse 42. And Jesus said unto him, receive your sight, your faith has made you whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. So the Lord's instruction was, come to me. So he commanded the man to be brought to him. And notice Jesus often makes use of human instrumentality in his blessings. He didn't just say, stay where you are, I can heal you there. He had someone bring him to himself, someone guide him there. And in John chapter 1 and verse 41, there's an example there. It says of Andrew. It says he first found his own brother, Simon. And he said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted Christ. And he brought him unto Jesus. So Andrew, a kind of obscure disciple of the Lord, went and brought his brother, Simon, who also turned out to be Simon Peter, one of the greatest men that ever lived of his time. And so Andrew brought his brother to Christ, not the other way around. And so here is a time when the Lord used Andrew to bring this great man, Peter, as he would become later, to himself. So there was a response that Jesus had. And for the man, the Bible says he cast away his extra garments and he got up. If you read through the accounts of Matthew and Mark, and then the Bible says in one particular place, he sprang up and came to Jesus. He didn't just nonchalantly get up and start to walk. He jumped up and wanted to run to him. Even though he couldn't see where he was going, he had to be guided that way. But he was willing to risk injury to himself to get what the Lord might have for him. So how many of us are willing to take a risk ever now and then to be faithful to God and do the things God wants us to do? And so Jesus asked, well, what is it you want? Now, Jesus wasn't asking because he didn't know. He asked for the purpose of the people around him, that they would see that there here was a blind man. He wanted them to hear the blind man make the request. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. We look at that, and sometimes we might need to ask the same question or have the same request of the Lord, that we can receive our sight. Now, we can see physically, but sometimes maybe we don't see spiritually as we need to be. And so we need to request from the Lord that he give us sight or wisdom, if you will. In the book of James in chapter 1, it says if we ask for wisdom, God is willing to give it. And so there was the blessing that was asked. And Jesus said, well, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Now, the sight in this particular passage is, physically speaking, his salvation. He was a blind beggar. That's all he could basically do in that time in their society. But now that he had his sight, he could do everything that any other human being would be able to do. In Luke 18:42, it says, then Jesus told him, your faith has made you whole. Another translation says, your faith has saved you. In other words, he was saved from his blindness, but in a sense, he was saved by something much greater than that. He was saved by the faith that he had in Jesus Christ and the fact that he was willing to do whatever Jesus commanded. If he had told him to go do something to receive his sight, he certainly would have done it. Because on a couple of occasions, Jesus did that, and he required somebody to go and do something to receive his sight or to be healed. But Jesus had the power immediately while he was on earth to give not only sight to the blind, but salvation and forgiveness of sins. He was the Son of God. He had the authority and power to do that. In Mark chapter 2 and verse 10, he says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Here is a man that was lame. He could not walk for all of his life. And Jesus explained to the people there that he had the power as the Son of God to give this man the ability to stand and walk. He had never been able to before. He says, but Jesus explained. He says that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Because when Jesus first saw him, he said, he didn't say, rise and walk. He said, your sins are forgiven. Well, they accused Jesus of blasphemy against God, which it would have been if he had not been the Son of God and God in the flesh. So he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man sick of the palsy, arise and take up your bed and go to your house. So he says, Jesus did that to prove that he was in fact the Son of God. That's what the purpose of the miracle was there, to show, yes, to bring about Jesus' compassion and love for people who were in need. This one happened to be sick and not able to walk, and so he was now able to go back to his home. And so Jesus healed him completely, physically and spiritually. But he says, and that was to show that he had power as the Son of God on the earth to not only heal people physically, but to forgive them of their sins. So served two purposes there. But go back to chapter 18 of Luke and verse 43 again, and look at the progress that is made. It says, immediately he received his sight. Now, there was no long process by which he gained his sight again. It was immediate. When the sick man, he was healed, and the lame man was healed, and Jesus restored a man's hand that had withered away. Those things were immediate. And I was thinking one time when Jesus healed a lame man one time, the Bible says he immediately jumped up. He'd never walked before, and he was leaping and running around. Now, you think about all the things had to be done for that. It wasn't just he had the ability to stand up. He had to have the balance to be able to do that, which he'd never had before. He had to have the strength in his legs and feet and everything to run around as he did. So when Jesus healed, it was immediate. It was obvious. It wasn't way off somewhere where somebody says they might have seen something done, as some people claim today. It was immediate. It was complete. So in chapter 18, verse 43 of Luke, it says he immediately received his sight and followed him. So the following, he was following Jesus. He showed his appreciation and his willingness to obey. Now notice what it says. Immediately received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. He knew that this was not Jesus, just a man. That this is greater power than anyone else knew of. That he had the power to give a blind man his sight again. He had the power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and do all of the things that he did. So he began to praise God. He may not have fully comprehended, and he probably didn't at this time, who Jesus was completely. Even the apostles didn't understand that until the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts chapter 2. But he certainly had an understanding that this was a power beyond anything that he had seen before. Now, if you go back and read, for example, through the book of Isaiah, there's a couple of passages there where Isaiah prophesied of what were the signs of the Messiah when he would come. He would heal the sick. He would raise the dead. He would give sight to the blind. He would give hearing to the deaf, and other things like that. So certainly that led many people to the thought and the idea that this might be the Son of God. Because it says there, all the people, when they saw it, they gave praise unto God. They knew this was God's power. They glorified God, giving thanks to Him. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Paul says, "Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Whatever we do in word or in deed, and that covers just about everything in life. Everything we do is something we say or something we do. And he says, in doing so, always give thanks to God. Don't ever forget to do that. And this man attributed his blessing to the proper source. He didn't wonder about what the source of Jesus' power was. We know on a couple of occasions, Jesus cast out demons, and he was accused by his enemies there that he was casting out demons by the power of Satan. Well, Jesus said, that doesn't make any sense, because if I did that, and I were doing it by the power of Satan, then Satan would be divided against himself. Well, he says, that's not the source of the power. So he attributed his blessing to the proper source. And sometimes, you know, we talk about, you know, my house or my car or my money or whatever it is we talk about and don't realize who the source of that is. God gives us the opportunity to have those things, and he blesses us with them. And so he wants us to be able to do and say the right things and understand he is the source of all the blessings that we receive. So that there's some things that we need to learn and to understand from looking at this particular passage. One of the things we need to look at is that whenever the gospel is preached, spiritually speaking, Jesus is passing by. Because we're the sinners. We're the blind sinners, the blind beggars. Without him, we'd have nothing. And so we have to realize we are like the blind man when Jesus is passing by and the gospel, the message is preached. We have to respond to it. We have to do something about it. In Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." So Isaiah prophesied in the sense, he's exactly what Jesus was bringing forth here. So seek the Lord while he may be found. The blind beggar realized this may be his only opportunity to appeal to Jesus, to be given his sight back. And he made that appeal. Isaiah said, call upon him while he is near. If he had waited a while, it had been too late. Jesus would already have been gone. Also, when we look at this passage, we need to learn that people believe and obey him, and they pass, when they do that, from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan to the power of God. Turn for a moment to Acts chapter 26. In Acts chapter 26, the Apostle Paul there is recounting his own conversion to Christ and his own message he received from the Lord on the road to Damascus. In Acts 26 and verse 15, he says, and as he was recounting this, he said, and I said, "Who are you, Lord?" That's when he saw the light on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecute." But Jesus said to him then, "But arise and stand upon your feet. For to this end have I appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, both of the things wherein you have seen me, and of the things wherein I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I will send you, to open their eyes, that they might turn from the darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, they may receive remission of sins, and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me." That was the charge that Christ gave to Paul, of Saul of Tarsus, as he was known at the time. "So I send you to open their eyes, and to do so, they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God." He says that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. Well, that's what we do when we believe and obey the gospel. We are transformed from darkness and blindness, spiritually speaking, to light, the light of Christ. Colossians 1:13 says he delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And that being delivered then from darkness to light, we have to walk in that light every day we live. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Every day we live, every day we walk in the light, we have the forgiveness of our sin. Now this evening, if you've been here, if you've heard this message, if you need to respond in whatever way it may be that you may need to the invitation of our Lord, won't you come while we stand and we sing.